Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
We know Oregon and Washington are heading to the Big Ten. Arizona likely to the Big 12. Perhaps so will Arizona State and Utah join Colorado, which has already made the announcement. The Pac-12 is running out of schools very quickly. Steve is up next in Louisville. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Paul. I wanted to kind of talk about the television package that ends this year with CBS as far as the SEC goes. And, of course, they're picking up the Big Ten. And I don't for the life of me understand why the SEC would give up a broadcast network in CBS that they have just, you know, they have dominated college football with for years and years, and let that go to the Big Ten, where the Big Ten's going to have three broadcast networks, Fox and NBC and now CBS doing their football games and the basketball games, and the SEC is going to be stuck with ESPN only, and ESPN Disney, they're hemorrhaging money. I can't understand why they would give that up. That just seems like they just
Steve, I'll do my best to explain if you are interested. CBS and the SEC had about a 15-year deal. It went somewhat sideways when Texas A&M and Missouri entered the league because CBS did not change the allotment by adding two new schools. They didn't pay the SEC anymore. So when it came time for renegotiation a couple of years ago, CBS was not as active as they needed to be. Now, in relation to ESPN, it is somewhat of a misnomer to say only ESPN. ESPN, the SEC games will be on ESPN and on the SEC network, but they will also be on ABC, which is one of those networks that you mentioned, one of the quote-unquote Big Four. No, it is not as widespread as the Big Ten network, because ESPN has so many other tributaries. I mean, they have ESPN, they have ESPN2, they have the SEC network, they have ABC. So they really, the SEC didn't really feel the necessity. They got what they wanted. And you know, you can say ESPN is hemorrhaging money, but a lot of folks right now are adapting to the new world order of streaming, including the company that you mentioned.
Well, is the SEC expecting ABC to pick up 14 games on the broadcast?
Of course. Think about this. Right now, let's talk about this season. ESPN will have a primetime game on Saturday night. So will ABC. The ABC game will either be a Big 12 game. I think the Pac-12 is still part of that package, or a Big Ten game. We know those games go away next year, so it's very likely that every Saturday night, the SEC still and ABC have the ACC as well. So I would say next year, the best SEC game will likely be on ABC.
Well, that would be some solace, I suppose, but it seems to me like that CBS is going to be paying the Big Ten far more per ratings point in money than they
I don't know, Steve, I know that straight up, I think the amount of money is probably more with three different entities, but the SEC is very comfortable with the ESPN deal, and I'm sure what the number that has been reported was will go up once Texas and Oklahoma are integrated into the league. But you're forgetting something else about ESPN, and this is not because I worked there, but ESPN is more than just a destination point on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night. ESPN also has this network, and I'll go ahead and brag, okay? But because I'm proud of what everyone at this network has done over the last 10 years, but there is not another conference network that can compare to the SEC network. The Big Ten network is at least respectable. But compared to this, no. I mean, nobody has the type of programming that the SEC network has. As far as all day long, ESPN has countless programs throughout the day and afternoon that also play a role in promoting college football, in addition to all morning on Saturday. So there's more where you're not going to get that on Fox. You're not going to get that on ABC. Or NBC. So, I mean, there are a lot of different things you have to look at. What the Big Ten did was the classic NFL model, but they don't have all the ancillary shows that ESPN and the SEC network offer.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, because I like you said, you know, the ABC's got the Big 12 now,
right?
And with the Big 12 picking up these.
Yeah, and I'm not 100% sure what the Big 12 network, what the Big 12 agreement. I think ESPN is involved in that with Fox. But, I mean, hey, by the way, next year is going to be very complicated from a television standpoint. I would agree. There's going to be so much on. On a Saturday night, you're going to have ABC, ESPN, CBS. I really don't know which one the Big Ten. I guess the Big Ten network. The Big Ten will have in prime time. Is it CBS or NBC? I really don't know.
I think CBS is at 3:30.
Okay.
What they had for the SEC.
If you want to talk about the loser in all this, it's CBS. CBS had the best college football game of the week on at 3:30 every Saturday, and you're going to replace Alabama and LSU and Tennessee and Georgia with Purdue and Indiana. John is in Louisville. Hello, John.
Well, today I'm back in Hollywood with my daughter. Guess where I'm taking her? I'm taking her to see Les Mis at the Pantages Theater.
Oh, my goodness. You ever seen Les Mis before?
Oh, a lot of times, okay. New York and in London. But
I'm embarrassed to admit, John, I saw it in New York many years ago, and I fell asleep in the third act.
I mean, how could you?
Well, here, because I'd gotten up like at five, or I'd left on like a 5 o'clock flight out of Alabama, and by 11:30 that night in New York, I was. It didn't matter what was going on the stage; I was long gone.
Well, the Pantages.
I heard it was a great play, though.
Historical. Yeah. It's an historical palace over there at Hollywood and Vine, so I look forward to it. Hey, Paul, I know it's a slow news day, and I know you're an ESP homer, but I really like what Billy brought out, and it's good to hear from Billy from Philly. But if you think about it, a private equity group will either float bonds or a loan group, and you're Florida State, and you're going to tell them, hey, we can make $25 to $30 million more a year. Can you float us some money for, say, the next 10 years? I mean, it seems like an easy-peasy deal.
Yeah, and by the way, after I asked them that, it's not these things have happened before. During COVID, a lot of conferences dealt with banks, as you probably will remember, to help give them a – it turned out they really didn't need it, but they needed a wedge against disaster.
Right, and, you know, quite frankly, they'll get that money back sooner than later. The only thing they need to do, this being Florida State, and obviously Clemson will follow the business model the day after, is they need to guarantee they'll have an SEC media deal, same as everyone else. I do have a CFP question for you. As you can tell, Washington State, Oregon State, Stanford, Cal, Kalikoff, they're all going to be on the street homeless next year. So I think Rick brought it up yesterday. It would seem like they'd want to slightly amend that CFP formula for next year, would you
think?
They're
going to have to. I mean, it's pretty much going to guarantee the SEC and the Big Ten, all 12 schools.
Yeah.
Great yeah, I mean, show. I'm beginning to wonder, it won't happen for 2 years, but once we get to 2026, I mean, the Big Ten and the SEC are going to completely control the college football playoff, and you have to wonder if they're going to let anyone else in.
By the way, I found it interesting, I think it was from Pete Thamel, I can't recall, but Oregon had a scratch and claw for a 50% take.
Right.
Which means when they had the due diligence done by Fox, they were going to give me less. I can see why the Big Ten would not want to, and they're great institutions, would not want to subsidize Cal and Stanford the way they do Rutgers and Maryland.
No, I mean, there's a lot of speculation, John, that this is really, and it's too early because it hasn't even happened yet, but this could be very bad news for schools that do not have marquee value. And what we're talking about is down the road. I mean, I don't see anybody in this league being an issue, but we are now looking at universities on what are you worth to the television package?
The rich get richer and the poor. Yeah, absolutely.
You can go a long way with a degree from Cal and Stanford, but you're not going to go anywhere when it comes to playing college football in the coming years. We'll take a break. More to come. We'll talk about more on Florida State in a minute from Manny Navarro with The Athletic. We'll be right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back on a very busy afternoon. What an afternoon it has been, and it's not over yet with some of the chess pieces having already been moved. We're excited to say hello to Manny Navarro from The Athletic. Covers Miami and the ACC, among other things. Manny, good to see you. Thank you so much for joining us on what has been a dizzying day in college sports. We're curious just your overall reaction to everything that has happened.
Yeah, really surprising, I think, to see it all sort of go down this quickly. I don't think it's a surprise, certainly, that teams are on the move and that they're looking for greener pastures. But certainly to have it sort of go down the way it did, where 1 minute looked like Oregon and Washington might decide to stick in the Pac-12 conference, to only flip moments later and say, nope, we're headed to the Big Ten anyway. And so I think from that perspective, a little surprising. But it's the world that we live in today, Paul. You know that.
Manny, I'm particularly interested in one of the stories that was big on Wednesday, but there just hasn't been any oxygen to talk about it today, but I want to get your thoughts on it. And that's primarily the ACC. You've covered a lot of that league. And in particular, what was the thinking Wednesday with that bloodletting at the FSU trustee meeting?
Yeah, certainly very interesting to see Florida State President Rick McCullough and some of the other administrators and people part of the Board of Trustees to come out and sort of puff their chests out and say, hey, we deserve more money than we're getting with our TV contract. Because I don't remember USC and UCLA doing that. I don't really remember Texas and Oklahoma doing that. So certainly a different approach, right, from school leaders to come out and do that. But look, Michael Alford's been talking about this for a while, Florida State's athletic director, that they want to figure out a way to keep up with the Joneses to make as much money as the schools in the SEC and Big Ten do as far as their TV contract and their payout. So I think this is just Florida State waving the flag. Somebody please come and get us. We want to leave the ACC and make a strong point that we're ready to leave.
They're not the only unhappy school in the ACC. They're just the only one who has gone public to that degree. I mean, there was a lot of noise a couple of months ago, and then it seemed like the commissioner at the spring meetings put the quietus on everybody. But how would you describe at least maybe a half a dozen to more members of the ACC who at one time or another have at least reportedly been unhappy?
Yeah, I certainly think Florida State's not alone. I think you look at Clemson, I think you look at Miami, North Carolina, Virginia, Virginia Tech, all of them don't want to be left behind when it comes to TV revenue. And they see what is going on with the Southeastern Conference and Big Ten and say, hey, what can you do for us to make this a better payout so that we can compete with these teams? And so they're certainly not alone. That said, Paul, I think, you know, there's probably only one team that's really deserving when you talk about redistribution of wealth, as Florida State's president brought up. It's Clemson. They've won the league 7 of the last 8 years. And to me, Florida State, in a lot of ways, yes, they had a great year last year, rebounding wise, coming back and winning 10 games under Mike Norvell from where they were. But Clemson's been sort of the king of the conference for a while now. And I think they're really the only team that has a case for, if you're going to redistribute wealth in a different way, I think Clemson's the one that deserves it.
So I know I already asked you, but I'm going to ask you again to explain why a school that really hasn't been relevant since 2014, and you talk about falling off the map. I mean, you couldn't find them for a while. Why suddenly they decided to plant their flag as king of the hill?
Well, I think it's desperation at this point. They see that all the other chess pieces are moving. They've seen now four Pac-12 schools move to the Big Ten Conference. It looks like the SEC's done, right? They're kind of at their 16-team limit. I think Greg Sankey's happy with what the league did. They've got a great contract. They've got the best teams in college football playing in the SEC. And so I think there's a little bit of desperation here on Florida State's part to say, please help invite us to the party, too. We want to get paid. And so again, it's a lot of theater that took place in the past year. I will say this. I don't think Florida State's president and their athletic director go through all of this theater unless they feel confident they've got a landing spot. So I got to imagine somewhere within the last year, they've had conversations with somebody in the Big Ten or the SEC to feel as though, hey, we've got a place to go if we are able to get out of this grant of rights that takes us through 2036 and all those sort of litigation headaches that are going to be coming Florida State's way. But again, we'll see, Paul, what happens. I'm very interested to see what chess moves Florida State really has here.
Well, I don't speak for anyone, Manny, nor do you, but yeah, the SEC or the Big Ten, I don't think is inviting them tomorrow because they've got, we've all been there before. You know, you're about to take another job and the guy said, hey, listen, I'll be happy to hire you, but get out of that legal quagmire you're in. I mean, they are in one right now. Yeah. So, How does an ACC member get out from under this deal that goes to 2036 with hundreds of millions of dollars at stake?
That's the big question, Paul. I think nobody's really found the magic bullet yet. I think they've spent over a year now, those seven schools who have said that they want out, you know, looking at this litigation and trying to figure out ways to do it. I think you guys at ESPN reported $120 million payout aside from the grant of rights. And so I know Florida State's Board of Trustee members have said, hey, listen, the grant of rights isn't going to be what holds us back. But it's a lot of money that you'll have to dole out to get away from the conference. And the fact that it runs through 2036, you know, it doesn't seem like there's, you know, paradise waiting for them on the other end here anytime soon. So I think if you're Florida State, I hope you've got the best lawyers in the country who figure out a way to do this, because I've talked to a lot of them in the last year, and I don't think anybody sees a way out of this.
No, I really don't. I don't understand that part of it. And yeah, I mean, every day somebody knows somebody who says, oh, yeah, no, I talked to a guy down in Tallahassee and they've got it figured out. This is the same school, Manny, you cover the league. Help me. That Jimbo Fisher was fuming always about a lack of commitment from the top down, getting facilities, getting this. And I realized that was 11, 12 years ago. But still, I've never looked at Florida State as being that wealthy. I mean, Miami, we know it's a private school. There are different sources of wealth. You got some other ones in the ACC, but not Florida State.
Yeah, and it was surprising to listen to that Board of Trustees meeting. And the first topic of conversation was, hey, we've got to buy two planes. You know, for a school that says they don't have enough money and they need to leave for TV purposes, I thought it was a little ironic that they're talking about purchasing two big jets so they can fly their team around. I know Florida State's had a lot of money in the past as far as helping them get out of problems. They certainly did so with Willie Taggart. They paid him to go away after probably one of the shortest coaching tenures in the state of Florida's history in terms of all the college teams that we have down here. So they're not poor. They just want to be able to compete with everybody else. And frankly, you know, I get it. I understand the desire. But again, do you deserve it? Is somebody willing to reward you because you were a national champion, you know, 10 years ago and were one of college football's best programs? I don't know that that's the case. I certainly don't know that they have the TV market in Tallahassee, right, to attract a ton of people. So I guess Florida State, good, you know, more power to you. If you can figure a way out and a way in somewhere else, congrats. I don't know how it happens.
Well, you've covered that that rivalry between Miami and Florida State for a while. So, you know, they definitely think a lot of themselves in Tallahassee. Yeah. hey, Manny, great to have you on. Thanks so much. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, boss.
Great stuff. I'm Manny Navarro, who, again, I think his point is really a good one about the lawyers. These things are just, this isn't Judge Judy where you just make an argument and they let you out. This isn't politics where you can create something. You know, laws or contracts like this are very difficult. We'll take a break. More to come. More after this message.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Quiet Friday afternoon. Arthur is in San Francisco.
Paul, you know I'm a Cal fan and a college football fan. And as a college football fan, I think it's an important day for the sport. And the reason I say that is Oregon and Washington, these are big-time programs, and the game is better when they're there. And I think a lot of times there's this confusion with, you know, the SEC schools, they boast about outperforming the teams on the field, and I understand that. But there's a fine line between being a better team and eradicating a program. So I'm hoping SEC fans are happy today that these programs are going to be included in the future of the game. And I think it's going to make, you know, championships that are won down there feel, you know, more valuable and more special than if that part of the country wasn't covered.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. So how are you handling what has been going on?
I think when USC and UCLA left last year, the writing was on the wall. You know, I wish Cal got a miracle today or coming up, but I think Cal and Stanford, they kind of deserve their own fate. You look at Stanford, you know, they care a lot about athletics, but they really believe in amateurism still. They don't want to do the NIL or the portal. I think they took one transfer last year. They just hired Sacramento State's coach to be their new head coach. I think Cal's a little bit more interested in playing in the NIL world, you know, putting money in the pockets of, you know, minorities from you know, these different underserved neighborhoods. But the administration, it just bogged down bureaucracy, and some of these administrators would rather be caught dead than showing that they prioritize athletics a little bit more than they do.
Well, they are about to find out how to survive with a lot less money. Hey, thank you, Arthur. Great to hear from you. Josh is in Oklahoma. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul, I know one thing today, brother. It is hotter than a dollar brothel on Nickel Knot.
That's hot.
I have two questions for you. It is very hot. I have two questions for you. One, is your theme song going to change once OU and Texas enters the picture? And two, why don't the networks show the marching bands? Why do I have to listen to a bunch of talking heads tell me about what I just watched? And then they go further and ruin the game that I'm recording to watch later.
Yeah, I the theme song will definitely change. I am going
Can
to
we get a preview
I'm going
of
to
that?
Get you an I don't know the answer on the talking here on the march on the marching bands. That's something that has quit being shown universally, and I'll ask a TV executive, and there're plenty hanging around here doing nothing that what the answer to that is. Quentin is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Quentin.
Hey, Paul. So I was calling because I know earlier you were talking about how you don't think the SEC would take on a Clemson and Florida State or Miami, North Carolina right now with the impending lawsuits going on. So I was wondering what if like a Big Ten jumps the gun and the SEC is kind of caught with their britches around their ankles. If you could see that potentially hurting the SEC later down the road, or maybe even there's a little regret for not doing it, not jumping the gun and taking on these pretty big time programs.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I do believe that Clemson and South and Florida State are very ideal fits for the SEC. I personally would like to see it happen. But I don't think the SEC is going to be affected adversely if Florida State decided to go somewhere else. I don't think it would be in Florida State's best interest to go to the Big Ten. You want to be in a league where there is some common interest. So if this happened, Florida State would then be in a league with a bunch of, you know, with Rutgers, Oregon, Washington, right. Southern Cal, Indiana. Now, they're already in a league with a bunch of schools they have nothing in common with, like Syracuse and Boston College. But they do have a commonality with a lot of other schools. So, I mean, I think that's the real danger. And even now, if you look at the 16 SEC schools that will be playing next year, they're really, I mean, you could find an outlier if you wanted. I'm not being that naive to say that, oh, every school fits perfectly. I mean, I go to every campus. I'm conversing on what feels like the SEC and what doesn't. I know Clemson and Florida State do. I've been both places a number of times, and you feel like you're in Auburn or Baton Rouge or Gainesville. Right. I think that's important to a league. I think this show is the embodiment of what the SEC is, that people come in here from all types of different places. Can you imagine doing a call-in show for the Big Ten? Well, they don't have one, but Can you imagine doing a Big Ten college right. show? Oh, it's we got a call from Oregon, and then we're going to Rutgers, and then we're going to Maryland.
Right, and I agree with that. And I have one more little, like, question for you, too, is could you potentially see, like, the Big Ten, the SEC, dropping some of maybe the schools that aren't contributing to the conference as much to add some of these bigger schools so that way it's not just they don't dilute the conference by having 30 schools, but they drop some of the lower-end ones and pick up some bigger-name programs?
I do not. I think that's one thing the SEC has always been steadfast about is when you're a member, you know, you're not getting kicked out. I know, I mean, there have been times when I was a columnist where we would sit around on a Friday afternoon and say, hey, you think the league would be better if we kicked this guy out or that one out? But right. We're past that now. And I know the commissioner and the people that work in the SEC office take this very seriously. This is not the S&P 500 where if you're an underperformer, you get X'd out. I mean, there's some underperformers in the SEC, but that's built into the cake. Brian is in Ohio. Hello, Brian.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing
the
well.
The brother of Andy from Perrysburg. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great, Brian.
So, hey, Paul, don't you think all of this realignment and reshuffling, don't you think, I mean, as linear television and cable television kind of collapses, but yet nobody really seems to have been able to crack the code of streaming. I mean, Disney, well, I mean, they're losing hundreds of millions of dollars right now on streaming. I mean, isn't this like a precursor toward going away from linear television and seeing who can have the sexiest package in terms of some sort of all streaming network?
Brian, I think ultimately that is the case, but I don't think we're there yet. And I've been hearing this on digital television now for 10 years where you better be ready. You better make sure you got all these digital shows. And by the way, there are some very successful digital shows, but they don't compare to linear television. I don't think linear television is going away yet. There's just too many people. It's just too easy. Now, you know, don't get confused. Most of you tonight or tomorrow are going to be watching Netflix, but that's a different situation. Live television, live sporting events are still going to be shown on linear television. Linear television, for those of you who are wondering, is just, you know, your normal cable satellite television. I'm not talking about Roku. The Super Bowl, which is the most valuable sporting event in the world, well, in the country, I should say, there may be something else in the world, it's committed to the major networks for endless number of years. Everyone's got a digital package, but that was the problem with the Pac-12. Well, my closing argument on this is simple. The Pac-12 went to its members a couple weeks ago and said, we are trending toward Apple, best name in technology, but not in television, as our primary package. What's happened since that proposal was given to the university presidents? Colorado's gone, Arizona's gone, Oregon's gone, Washington's gone, and Arizona State and Utah are likely to go. That's all I need to say in my closing argument on whether linear television is dead. We'll be right back.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back on another day of insanity in college football with more movements on the chessboard, things happening across the West Coast and in Arizona. We'll update you on all the moves and the few you haven't been with us. There have been quite a few over this afternoon. Let's check in with Dan in the state of Washington. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Hi there.
I'm a transplant from Washington, but I'm actually been moved to Huntsville, so I'm going to see, but it's pretty excited that
you're in a great place.
Hello?
Yeah, Dan, we're still with you. Go right ahead.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty exciting that Washington's come to the Big Ten. I mean, that style of football and everything. I think the thing I'm going to miss the least is the officiating and having to be up till 1 o'clock in the morning to watch the games.
Well,
what's your opinion of how you think they're going to do in that conference?
Well, I think Washington will do well. In some ways, it may be easier because there are so many mediocre programs in the Big Ten, and it's impossible to know until you see some semblance of a schedule. But I don't think it will be dramatically different other than the absurd travel.
I think they're one of the most underrated teams this year. I mean, they could technically win it all. Penix, if he played in the SEC, would probably be one of the top Heisman candidates if he hadn't gone to Tennessee like he was supposed to.
Well, I think
he
might still be, depending on how the Huskies do. I've been to Washington for a game, and it is unique.
It's one of the best. I mean, I went there when Don James was the coach. He actually taught Nick Saban a lot of how to.
I sure did.
A lot of how to build his team. A lot of Nick Saban's teams are really similar to the old '90s teams I used to watch with the Dogs. So
yeah, no,
it's pretty exciting. The coach they have is one of the best young coaches.
It's a really unique place. Thanks for the call, AC in Bangladesh.
Mr. Feinbaum, how you feeling? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Mr. Feinbaum, I did call Tucker and Rich. I let that producer know off air. These boys better watch their mouth. I'm going to rip those tongues out because I don't like when they criticize Mr. Feinbaum Nation. I had to take care of some business, man. But this is what I'm going to say. You know, there's a one-liner that goes on and on. I'm a first-time caller, but I'm a long-time listener. So why didn't you call in, you sore loser? That's the biggest problem, Mr. Feinbaum. I'm a long-time listener, but first-time caller. What stopped you from calling the damn station, you idiot, fat American? But, Mr. Feinbaum, it's been 3 days. You did not let me finish. I love you. Holla.
We all good with that? Martin is in North Carolina. Hello, Martin.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you.
I am in North Carolina, but I am from Big Ten country. I'm actually from the school that you have been poking at. I'm assuming that's because of the loss to LSU during the bowl season. I do wish some people would remember the bowl victory against Tennessee the previous year. It's always surprising that when we talk about the conference realignment, which what kind of gets lost is the financial mismanagement at some of the universities we're talking about with respect to their athletic programs. Well, I am from Big Ten country. I also have a Pac-12 degree as well from Cal. And that program at Cal is so financially mismanaged and has been mismanaged for the last 15 to 20 years. They basically drove the brand into the ground because the program had otherwise been successful through the 70s, 80s, and 90s as well. And so while the school may not want to touch NIL money as an example, and they may not want to invest in their programs, there's a little bit of frustration on my part when you know, I hear my former classmates and colleagues complaining about the Big Ten and the SEC gobbling everything up. The programs that are in both of those conferences are not financially mismanaged. They actually perform quite well, you know, and at the end of the day, if there ends up being two super conferences, I'd probably prefer people quit complaining about it and get on board. As we'd say at Purdue, you know, time to get off the tracks, the train's coming through.
Well said, Martin, for that cheery, thanks for the cheery report. Parker is up next. Hello, Parker.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Can't complain. I'm in here in East Tennessee, just hiked a little bit today. Cumberland Gap, I don't know if you're familiar with that area. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Parker. I missed part of what you said, but pick right back up with where you were.
Yeah, I think here's the conspiracy with college football. I'm looking at the map of the Big 12, or sorry, the Big 10. It looks like an airline's best dream. Is this a secret plot? Whenever Oregon has to travel to Rutgers and USC has to travel to Michigan?
Yeah, I'm wondering, too, what they do. It's, you know, football season's one thing. You know, basketball is chaotic, but what do they do in like baseball season? Can they? I mean, all these games. It affects so much more. Although I realize most people only care about football, but the Big Ten has. I think they've bitten off way too much with this cross country situation. So, I mean, good luck to them, but it doesn't work very well. We'll take a break. More to come. Two more hours to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.